And as we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from a psalm that is familiar to most of us, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, you are our good shepherd. In seasons of plenty and seasons that feel scarce, when this room is overflowing with people, and when there's so many that aren't with us that we miss, you are the same, a good God, an abundant God, a present God, a God who delights in caring for us, a God who walks with us through the hard, dark valleys, and a God who prepares a seat for us around your big, beautiful table. A God who calls us child. A God who delights in us. You are a God who loves us. And for all those reasons and so many more, we are here, O God, to worship you, for you're worthy. We're here, O God, to open our hearts to receive you because we need you. We're here to find our hope in you, our joy in you, our peace in you. And so we know you're already here, but would you open us up, O God, to receive you this day? Be delighted in our worship and send us from this place filled with your goodness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you pray with me? A living God, we thank you this morning that already you've been so faithful to meet us in this place through the gift of songs. You've reminded us that you are the chain breaker and that you are our Redeemer who lives. Through the beautiful gift of Terry's story, you've whispered to each of us, "I've never left you. And I am with you." No matter what shame, no matter what pain, no matter what doubt we carried into this room, you whispered those same words to us, "I am with you and I love you." And so knowing that we are safe in your love, O God, knowing that we are seen, and knowing that you even delight in us, we turn to your word because we want to delight in you. We want to hear from you. We want to know you. We want to encounter you. We want to be led by you. And so would your spirit move freely among us, O God, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series this morning on new pathways that Christ opens to us. So this morning, we see a Christ who removes our feet from the path of anxious panic and opens up a new way to live as people in the comforting presence of our God. On January 13th, 2018, at 8:07 in the morning, the residents of Hawaii all got this text message on their phones. It was also broadcast on TV and on radio at the same time. In all caps, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Imagine, look at your phone and that's what you get. Hawaiians are in full-fledged panic mode. The governor came on a little while later and he apologized and said, an employee just pushed the wrong button. Oh, that's a big mistake. That didn't come until 18 minutes later on TV and radio, 38 minutes later via text. 40 minutes hearing that a missile is coming right at your house. We live in a world of panic. We're living in a panicky culture. We're panicky people, are we not? Your phone rings in the middle of the night. And before you even look at who it is or even answer to see what they want, already begun to panic. The doctor calls and says they've seen something. They need to run some more tests. Before you even show up for more tests to be run, before you even have a chance to hear that it's okay, it's probably benign, already there's panic. You're checking out at Safeway. And you go to grab your wallet, and it's not in the place where it always is. Before you look to the next place, it's too late, it's already happened. Panic. Two nights before I moved to Washington, I happened to just look up on a whim, you know, the Seattle news for the day, figure out what's happening in this place I'm moving to. Guess what the headline was? The big earthquake. I hadn't even heard about this in Texas. The big earthquake. And then it's coming, they said. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You live here, you've heard it. It was on the news again last night. And there I am laying in my bed in Texas 2 days from this cross-country move in panic. I'm moving into the place that's going to cease to exist at any moment. On these COVID Sundays, I'm doing better today because I've gotten used to it after 2 years. But on these COVID Sundays, when I come into this place that not that long ago was just full of people, and I see more pews, empty spaces than faces, there's so many of those I've gone home and just began to sob and weep and panic. God, is it ever going to be like it was? Are these people that we haven't seen in months ever going to come back? Are we ever going to be fully on mission again? Is there ever panic, panic, panic before I even stop to breathe and pray and trust Him to keep guiding us as He has all this while? And whenever I'm doing really good in my awake hours and not panicking too often, it turns out that sometimes this panic stuff finds us in the night in our dreams, right? I have this recurring dream. I'm sure no one else in the room has this dream. But in this dream, I come up here on a Sunday morning and realize about this moment that I'd never planned a sermon. It's like, crud! What am I going to talk about? And y'all are all staring at me, and I've got nothing. And I'm like sitting here just trying to think of some random topic and how I'm going to wing it, and I am in this full-fledged panic mode. In my dream, panic, it finds us when we're waking, it knows when we're asleep. Panic. Studies show that anxiety is the most common mental illness in the United States. No surprise, right? 1 in 5 adults have an anxiety disorder. That's 40 million American adults. Live not just with some panic here and there, but an anxiety disorder. week in and week out. In 2020, cases for anxiety and depressive disorders went up by 25% worldwide in 1 year. Not a surprise with the pandemic and all. But if you think about it, worldwide, going into 2020, it was already estimated that 298 million people, that's a lot of people, would suffer from anxiety. And by the end of that year, that number that was supposed to be 298 million actually was 374 million people. We added 76 million cases of anxiety disorder in 1 year. We haven't seen reports from 2021 yet. You guys, we're living in a panicky world. Has anyone felt it recently? We're living in panicky skin. We notice your very own breath right now. Notice it. Is it deep and relaxed? Or is it shallow and a little bit anxious? Is there a way to be in this panicky world and not actually live in a state of panic? I believe there is. I believe there has to be. And so once again, we are invited this morning to encounter our Jesus and to see the path that he opens up for us. Today, it's a new path, and it's a path that is defined by a lot less panic and a lot more comfort in the calming presence of our Lord. I want us to look at two situations in the life of Jesus when he was thrown into full-fledged panic. And I want to see what's happening in the situation all around him and what his response is. Because he's our guide and he's with us. The story in Mark 4 that you just heard with the disciples in the boat. The problem was the problem in that story. There's a storm, thank you, a big storm, and they're in a boat. That's a bad place to be in a storm, right? Anybody been in a boat in a storm? I know Harlan has, so yeah, I've heard that. It's no fun, and there it says the waves are crashing in so much that they are being overtaken, and the disciples are in full-fledged panic mode. They're trying to scoop out whatever they can. There's no way they can keep up. This is going to take them down. You can hear them, you can feel them, you can see them. They are panicking. Well, the good news is Jesus is in the boat too. But what's Jesus doing? He's taking a nap, just like the kids. I just take a nap. Well, cool, you can leave church because you got it figured out. Jesus is taking a nap. Why? How? What do you think made Jesus be able to take a nap when everyone around him is panicking? Any guesses? Any ideas? There's no wrong answer. It doesn't tell us. What? Trust. Yeah, he's the Lord. Yeah, he should. If anyone can rest, it could be him. Trust. He knows who made those waves, right? He knows that those waves still know his name. Trust. He's the Lord. He's all powerful. What else might help him be in this place of rest when everyone around him is panicking? Anybody? He's tired. He's tired. Maybe faith, yeah. Maybe he's at peace with life or death. I don't know. Maybe he has this idea of there's always a bigger picture at play. The waves are never the key point of the story, right? All these things. But the people around him, they're screaming and they're shouting. And Jesus yawns and he stretches. He's like, peace, be still. That's our Jesus. Panic right out there, panic all around him. And this sense of calm in the presence of God within him. Can we be like Jesus? There's another panicky story, John chapter 11. I want to read just the first 7 verses of that. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." So the problem in this story, Lazarus is really sick. Like really, really sick. He's not going to make it. You've known that place of panic. Someone you love is really, really sick. And they send this urgent request to Jesus. It's his own sisters. And they know that Jesus loves him too. It's his best friend as far as we can tell. And they say, "Jesus, it's urgent. We're panicking. Come now. Lazarus is sick." The human response is to be overwhelmed, to be full of anxiety. Go get Jesus and tell him to come and to come now, right now. And what does Jesus do when he hears this urgent, anxious, panicky plea? He decides to wait 2 days before stepping into the crisis. And not only 2 days before he starts making the journey, it's a 2-day journey. So he is going to wait 4 days to get there. Why? How can Jesus do that when everyone around him is panicking and saying, "Jump into my crisis. Join us in the panic." How can he just sit back and wait? This one's a bit easier because John tells us, Jesus says that he knows that this isn't the end of the story. But the Father is using Lazarus' sickness and then his death and then his resurrection to actually show who Jesus is. He knows the story. He knows where it is. He knows where it's going. He's not going to panic. He always knows that there's this better story happening right alongside our panicky stories. Sometimes if we could just see that, get a glimpse of that, oh, the calm would overcome us. And so he waits just a bit. He gets there eventually. They scream and they shout, "Come quickly, Jesus. Come now, Jesus. You're already late, Jesus." And Jesus eats a sandwich and packs his bag. Then says, "Oh, I don't really want that shirt. I think I want this shirt." And then he repacks his bag. He finishes whatever's on his to-do list. Eventually, he starts to head that way. You see, Jesus lives in a panicky world. And he has this constant refusal to join the chorus of panic himself. Panic out there. But with Jesus, there's this calm in the presence of whatever God's up to in here. Can we be like our Jesus? Is it even possible? You see, a calm Savior entered into a panicky world and showed us the way to live out of this centered peace when everything around us is shaking. We can encounter this Jesus, my anxious friends, and we can actually go home a new way because it's still true. His peace he gives to you. And so how do we do it? That's the question, right? Good for Jesus. How do we do it? Psychologists, we like psychologists. They've given us some helpful hints on how to overcome those panicky moments when anxiety wants to overcome us. And as I read and studied through the psychologist's top 3 recommendations, I wasn't too surprised to see that Jesus knew these things first. Turns out he is the healer of our souls. The number one thing psychologists say to do when you feel the panic coming on, they say the number one thing to do is have your script ready before the panic even hits. Already know in your heart what is true because you've already rehearsed the truth again and again and again. And so when the panic begins to come, your script is there and you just begin to say out loud what is still true and what's bigger than those waves of anxiety. And so this morning we're going to have some fun. Nick was like, "Are we going to school today?" Yes, we are, and it's going to be fun. We're going to build our script together. How does that sound? Yay. Yay! Because we are in, right now, for the most part, a non-panicky moment. That's the best time to build a script. And we're in the presence of Christian community. That's the best place to build a script. And so you may want to take notes here if you're a note taker, or take a picture after, because this is going to be our script. This is going to be this thing that we return to again and again until we know it in our hearts. And so when those waves of panic come, we already know what's true, and we can just rehearse what's true. And so I need a secretary. I need somebody. I just need one volunteer this morning. I know you're all dying to be that person. Oh, how appropriate, Danielle. I didn't even ask her to do that. You really don't mind? Yay. You can clock this hour. So she's going to be our secretary, and we're just going to build a script of what we already know right here and right now that is true about our Jesus, no matter what happens in this world around us, no matter what. I'll give the first couple just to kind of get our brains going, and then you can just add to it. So we know that he's with us, right? Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, his name shall be called God with us. In the boat, when our best friend's dying, right here, right now, he's with us. We know that he has promised that he will not leave us as orphans. John 14:18. He's about to leave his disciples. He says, do not be afraid. I do not leave you as orphans. So when the world starts shaking, I know I've got a good father, and he still claims me. That's two. What else do we know? Anything about our Jesus? What is this? What is it? Oh. Ask, seek, knock. So ask and it shall be given. So he hears us. Seek and you shall find. He's knowable. He's findable. Ask, seek, knock. He's eager to open the door to us. Good. What else do we know about him? What's that? Nice. He's an overcomer. He's overcome. In him, we overcome. If you don't know the Bible verse, that's okay. You can just say the quality. We've had two Gold Star students start off. You can just say, like, he's nice. That works. We won't put you on the spot to quote the scripture. What else do we know about Jesus? All power. Yeah, he's powerful. Over the waves, over death. Yeah, what else? Yes, unconditional love. And if he loves us, he's got to be for us, right? And so he moves to help us. You keeping up good? You're good. Yeah, you're good. What else? What else? We know so many things about Jesus. I'll give some more. He delivers us. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the flames, they will not overtake you. He's a deliverer. What else do we know? He's infinite. Yeah, so our little temporary things are nothing to him. Good. What else do we know? Personal. Yes. Yes, the second column. I love it. He's personal. That he's right here. What else? What else? Yes. It's full of grace, and it's enough. Philippians 1:6, I will finish the good work I started in you. He's doing something good in us. Romans 8:28, the Lord works everything together for his good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Anything else? Anything else at all that you know about God that's always true, no matter what? He's patient. Good. My future is in your hands. Good. You're doing great. Good. Psalm 34:18, he's near to the brokenhearted. What did I hear? You said grace again? Can never get too much grace. Yeah. He's the good shepherd. Yes, he is a peacemaker. He delights in peace. So when our world is shaky, he always knows the way to peace. Yeah. He's the good shepherd. Remember John 10, he will get between us and the thieves and the wolves. He will lay his life down for us. Faithful. Good. good. Romans 8:11, sometimes we sing this song, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. This is just the beginning. This list could go on and on and on. But take notes, take a picture. This is the beginning of our script, you guys. These things, they never change about who he is. And you can, good, exclamation. Good job. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you. Good job, good job. Put the script in your heart now. When you're not in panic mode. And so when you start to panic, the truth is already there and it just pours out of you. He's with me. He loves me. He knows the way to peace. He's working good for me. He's my Savior. He only sees me through the eyes of grace. Name these things. Rehearse these things. In the storm, when he's facing his best friend's death, Jesus knew the script. He knew what was true, that the God who was in control was the same God who was with him and who was for him and who was moving on his behalf. So there was no need to panic. Not when we really know in our hearts what's true. Not whenever we really know that we've got a really, really good Father who has not for a moment let us go. There is no panicky thing out there that can get to us. That's one, know your script. Psychologists say the second thing to do in panicky moments is to focus on your breathing. It's like we taught the kids. Breathe in slowly and deeply through your nose. And breathe out slowly and deeply through your mouth. Just try it. Feel just that bit of calm already. Just something that simple. But did you know that it's not just a physiological exercise? Did you know that in the Old Testament, the word for spirit is ruach? You can even hear it. It's the same word for spirit and wind and breath. And in the Greek, the New Testament, the word for spirit is pneuma, which is also the same word for breath. From Genesis to the maps, the same word for spirit is the same word for breath. In Genesis 2, remember, God's playing in the dirt, and he creates this substance, this man form, Adam. But it's not alive until God does what? Breathes into it. Spirit, breath, one and the same. And then fast forward all the way to John 14. Jesus has already died. He's already resurrected. He's about to go and be in heaven with his Father. But before he leaves, he finds his scared disciples huddled together. And he walks in. Do you remember what he does when he sees them? Anybody? He breathes on them. That's not just a random, gross, pre-COVID fact. He breathes on them. It's going back to Genesis 2. This God is giving his spirit, breath and spirit. God is that close. It's one and the same. And so psychologists say when you feel panic, just take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out. And what they're getting at is the very way our God has created us, saying in those moments of panic, know that I'm all the way in. I'm right there with you as close as your breath. And I'm pouring out of you. Breathe God in. Breathe God out. Sometimes we sing it. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. When you feel panicky, focus on your breathing. From Genesis to John, God says in this panicky world, just breathe. Because my spirit is right there. I am with you, closer than a brother. I am in your very being. God saying, I will see you through. When the world starts shaking, focus on your breathing. With every breath, accept what is true. The Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God will go before me. The Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God will go before me. Isn't it amazing when scientists just tell us what God's already said? The last thing, psychologists say to do in panicky moments. And this one's easier said than done. They say, find a distraction. Think about something else. It's like, oh, gee, thanks, scientists. Get your attention off of the waves. Get your attention off of the crisis. Just do that and you're great. We're like, awesome. Here's an idea for how to maybe actually do that. Remember those WWJD bracelets? Remember those? Anybody have one today by some chance? Blast from the past? Do you? No? Man. Anybody know what they mean? Do you remember what it stands for? What would Jesus do? And that's great. That's great. But I want to kind of do a twist on that for a better way to walk into a distracting thought in a panicky situation. Rather than enter into something chaotic and say, what would Jesus do? Try instead asking this question. What is Jesus doing? And focus on that. Rather than this idea of, well, if Jesus happened to be here and gave a care about what was happening in my life, what would he do? No, no. Instead, ask the question, what is Jesus doing right here and right now? Because if he has already written a better script, and if his spirit is already in you, then whatever the circumstance, no matter how anxiety-invoking it is, the truth is he is there, and he is doing something. And so rather than fixate on the problem, try your darndest to just fix your eyes on Jesus, to get some kind of glimpse of what he is doing in that situation at that time. Because whatever he is doing, we can just do that too. The disciples, they looked for Jesus in their panicky boat, and they found him sound asleep. And that was a little permission, like, huh, if he's not losing sleep over this, maybe I don't have to. Maybe I can rest easy as well. Mary and Martha, they find Jesus in their panicky grief. And they find him taking his time, saying, God's doing something in this. God's showing the world something big in this. Don't worry, it's going to happen. If he can trust that, well, maybe I can trust that. If he's not in a hurry to get there, maybe I don't have to be in a hurry for all to get fixed right here and right now. What is Jesus doing? And if he's not fixing it, maybe it's because he's doing something totally different and bigger and better. And if he's not panicking, maybe I don't have to panic. If he's really with me and for me, and he doesn't think this is the end of the world, maybe I don't have to think it's the end of the world. What's making you panic these days? And what would Jesus do if he was still here? Scratch that. That's the wrong question, right? He is here. His spirit is in you. And so what is Jesus doing? Look for that. Dig deep into that. Pray to see that. And once you get it, join that. Join whatever Jesus is doing. Rather than obsessing over the waves, say, well, he's not, and I'm just going to do what my Jesus is doing. Psychologists call it finding a distraction. I call it walking the new path that Jesus has already opened to us. A path that's free from panic and that enjoys the comforting presence of our God. We're just doing what our Jesus is doing. He's not afraid. Why am I? Panicky people, is that you? It's me. Learn your script. Learn your script. Practice breathing. Let the Spirit of God in. Let the Spirit of God out. Fix your eyes on what Jesus is doing. Walking in the comfort of God, our Savior. Could it be that simple? I don't know. Try it. Let's see. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you entered into a panicky world to show us that there is a way to live in peace, not on the other side of this world, but but right here and right now. And that way of peace is your Spirit in us, your truth deep in our hearts, and eyes to see you, Jesus, moving in our midst. Help us this day. Help us this week. We don't know what the news is going to say tonight, but we've got some hunches it's going to be anxious. We don't know what phone calls we'll get this week, but there might be some hard ones. We don't know how our health is going to go, but it may not be the best. Before any of that happens, right here and right now, help us put our trust in you as you lead us in the way of peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.